Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. You need to be a person who perseveres in this old life.
Learn the difference between being a failure in life and experiencing failure in life. Once we trust in Christ as our Savior, we're a new creation, and our past failings are just that. They're in the past. Any future mistakes are to be regarded as temporary setbacks. They do not define who you are. The Apostle Paul learned this lesson very well. No matter how many times he was reviled, chased out of town, stoned, he didn't consider himself a failure. Rather, he looked at his Lord to determine the truth about who he really was. A forgiven sinner, commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Acts 22:10-21. Paul experienced the power of persistence to transform his character and to give him hope. That's Romans 5:3-4. Such hope will sustain you today, even in your greatest crisis, no matter what. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, God will give you the ability to stay on course. Just trust Him.
What in the world is going on? Where is that safe place? Grocery store? Flea market? Certainly the church, right? Coming to a church near you? It happened in California. 4 people critically wounded, 1 dead after a shooting at the Laguna Woods Church on Sunday afternoon. The Sheriff's Department said that one person has been detained and they've recovered a weapon that may have been involved in that incident. An additional person suffered minor injuries in the shooting, according to police. They described the suspect as an Asian male in his 60s, but they didn't give any further details. The sheriff said that churchgoers displayed exceptional heroism and bravery during that incident, and without their quick actions, there would have been more casualties. Dateline New York, authorities there have identified the 10 victims killed Saturday when a self-described white supremacist, 18 years old, opened fire in a grocery store in predominantly black Buffalo, New York area. Several of the victims killed at the Tops Friendly Market were community members, had personal connections with those who actively served in the local community, including a local food pantry chef and the mother of the city's former fire commissioner. All but one victim over the age of 50, and 11 of the victims were black. 2 were white. Killed 55-year-old Aaron Salter, a retired police officer, was among the first people killed as he served as a security officer in that grocery store. He confronted the gunman. He actually shot him, but he had on a bulletproof vest. The gunman returned fire and killed Salter. He goes out a hero. The police chief said many more would have died had it not been for his actions. You hear stories like this and you pray that he was saved. Did so much on this side of the curtain. Well, that's politics and this is business here. Several of the largest defense contractors in the United States have ties to Beijing, China. Raytheon, Bell Flight, and Boeing, 3 American powerhouse defense firms, continue to maintain cozy relationships with firms tied to the Chinese government, while Lockheed Martin has business interests in the country. Isaac Stone Fish, the CEO and founder of China Risk Consultancy Company, called Strategy Risk, warned in a statement to Fox News that defense contractors' Chinese ties present several real risks. Doing a relatively significant amount of business in China changes the risk profile now more than ever for any U.S. company, whether for compliance, cyber, reputation, security, or other risk. Boy, it's such a fine line. Should we get out? Should they get out? I'm sure if I go down to the tool shed here, I have several tools made in China. Should I throw them in the trash? What do you think? Okay, give it to me straight, Doc. America's leading cause of death identified. Is it me? Well, you want to know, right? A new column by Islam expert Robert Spencer has revealed one commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration is suggesting misinformation is the leading cause of death in America. Really? Spencer, who also runs Jihad Watch, said in the commentary at PJ Media that the leftists The lefty loonies are waging an all-out war against the freedom of speech, really, under the guise of combating what it claims is misinformation and disinformation. Liar, liar, demonic lead, yeah, Barack, Hillary, they teamed up to complain recently about disinformation, and then Joe Biden's Homeland Security Department unveiled its sinister disinformation governance board. You heard of this? With an ill-defined and shifting scope of responsibilities. Then he reported on Sirius XM, I've been telling Congress that misinformation is the leading cause of death in this country. We're in the negative spiral right now due to mostly chronic disease, drug overdose, gun violence, and misinformation plays a major role. Because if you think about the common chronic diseases we're talking about, good old-fashioned heart disease, diabetes, obesity, this, of course, is driven by day-to-day habits that people have, driven largely by the information they ingest, and not driven by the information they should be getting about the measures that are effective to them. The right people are not talking to them. It's good that you have Hello World in your life. Oh, yeah. Have we landed in Moronville already today? Let's go to church. A local nonprofit organization is hosting an event, LGBT Queer Youth in Naples, Florida. Going to feature a drag show. The inaugural Youth Pride Conference, which is being hosted by Glenn's Collier, will take place May 21st at the Naples United Church of Christ and is intended for LGBTQ youth seeking to explore LGBTQ-related issues they face today. Youth, 12 to 18, invited to attend. Free breakfast, free lunch, drag show with local queer drag queens. Whew. The inevitable question, where's my gun? So did you see it over the weekend? Hundreds here, hundreds there, even in Fort Wayne, Indiana. 200 people came out of the woodwork to march for abortion, for the murder of babies, with such excitement and laughter and hand-clapping and tooting horns and signs waving and in-your-face, Christian. Type attitudes. Oh, these poor, lost people celebrating death for babies. We won it. Allegedly, 70% of America, maybe more, want to continue to murder babies in a thing called abortion. You know, it was on January 21st, 2022, this year, Katie Shaw stepped up to the podium at the National March for Life and faced a crowd of over 100,000 people. Katie smiled at the massive rally cheering wildly in front of her, peering over the podium through thin-rimmed glasses. She appeared just like any other ordinary young woman, and she was, but Katie has Down syndrome. According to those who want to murder babies around the world, it was meant her life was not worth living. Down syndrome, killer. Oh, it just burns my as a woman with Down syndrome in America, Katie's invitation to speak at such a massive crowd was just uncommon. In many countries, especially like Iceland or Denmark, where over 98% of the babies who have Down syndrome are murdered, Katie might not have been alive to give her speech at all, but she was born in America. Yet the crowd went wild when she spoke in defense of life and demanded equality for those humans, those babies, those boys and girls in the womb. I'm proud to be here to march to show the world that people with a disability or not need to have a chance to show the world God's plan for them. Oh, go for it, Katie. She said, my parents never thought about killing me. They worked and planned with the doctors to help me have my wonderful life. Oh, that is a fantastic message. How can we do what we're doing in America? Pray Roe versus Wade is overturned. Now is past time. I read this to my church yesterday, and something to think about. Many of you attend churches that preach the Word of God, have good music, where God is honored and glorified and lifted up. It's all about Him. Oliver North said, too many churches have become Sunday morning entertainment centers rather than preparing members to carry out the Great Commission. Too few churches today are expecting their congregations to be good stewards of the blessings bestowed on them, including living in the only nation on earth founded on Christian values and biblical principles. Allowing the left to drive God out of our schools and out of our government and public squares is not good stewardship. You know, one of the things missing here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the abortion rallies were most Christians. Only a handful. What in the world is going on? Is that sad or what? You know, we've reached a point in our nation's history, Oliver North said, when Christians must stand up and be counted before it's too late. The coarsening of our culture is happening because Americans who reject God and accept sin are using the courts and other avenues of attack to drive God further from our culture. Christians cannot justify sitting back and letting this happen. What do you think? Let's do a mini living in today's world. I wanted to share this from former Indiana 4th District Congressman Mark Souder. We became friends when I started the Christian radio station WFCV here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, decades ago. He then was the owner of Souder's Furniture Store in good old Grable, Indiana, Amishville, USA. He later went on to serve 16 years as a congressman from our district, a good Christian representative. Mr. Souder is currently battling fourth stage pancreatic cancer, and he posts things about once a week, and last night this came through. I wanted to share it today. A few nights at the end of the week and yesterday were especially difficult with considerable pain. Not like many of you, though. When I first discovered my life has some actual probable time limits, possibly very short, it was incredibly sobering. I prayed for God to give me more time if He was willing. But most of us are in many ways like the Israelites wandering in the desert. When we're starving, we are thankful to God that He gives us plain manna to eat. But as the threat of immediate starvation passes and life proceeds, we think maybe some bacon and buttered toast would be nice with that manna. Maybe some condiments. As a new routine develops, we can forget our situation. We can also easily fall into a natural, at least for us, trap of wanting to go back to the way things were. But life has changed. The past is gone. I have pancreatic cancer. Others of you have other things that have altered your life. There'll be good days and bad days. God, who created us, understands our weaknesses and wants, but ultimately, we can't plan our way out of these things. There are things we can do, and medicine today is amazing compared to any other point in world's history. But there are finite limits. Miracles occur, but they are called miracles for a reason. The challenge is to be thankful for the wonderful life that I've had and appreciate the time I've been granted. Like others who are struggling, you know this is not easy day after day. Heaven will be wonderful, but as for time here, it's not in our hands. We need to use whatever quality of life we have here and appreciate it, because it's not going to last forever. But some days that's easier to do than others. That's where prayer and a prayer life are especially important. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this important message. So, anyone giving you a big gift recently? Maybe like a tip of $10,000. Wow, that's a biggie. The world goes round because of finance. This Christian radio station couldn't exist for 5 minutes without you and your giving. And any ministry, be it the church, the missionary, the revivalist, funds are needed. No different here at Hello World, my friend, headed up by Greg Patton Ministries out of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we're so grateful every month for your giving. Hey, get in touch, gregpatton.com. News and information ministry on this Christian radio station. Just do this. How about just praying about it? And one other thing I'd like you to pray about? Invisible war on the saints. Talking to someone who works regularly in this area,
said once things get going, this book comes out, we offer the material, we could get up to 50 calls a day for help. We're going to start training people as to how to deal with the demonic. Interested? Stay tuned. We're going to be doing some seminars, not only in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but maybe in your area. The spirit world. Nothing scary, just a part of life for the Christian, my friend. And you need to know what you are doing. The when, the how, all of that.
He did not know. Peter did not understand what was about to happen. But he should have had the necessary insight, right? Neither James nor John, nor any of the other disciples had the insight. Even though they had been with Jesus for 3 years, they still did not have a grasp of God's eternal plan, and this weakness would prove to be their undoing. As they sat down to eat with the Lord on the night of his arrest, their minds and their hearts were filled with many concerns, most of which did not include the Savior's impending torture and death. Earlier in the day, they had been completely caught up in the details of the Passover dinner. You can read about it in Luke 22. And when Jesus arrived at the upper room, no one offered to wash his feet. Therefore, he took up a towel and began washing the feet of the men who were with him. John chapter 13. And a squabble arose among the disciples over which of them would be the greatest, with Jesus intervening, saying The one who is the greatest among you must be like the youngest and the leader like the servant, Luke 22:26. And later he revealed a startling truth here. Each man would abandon him that very night. Really? But Peter adamantly denied that, the possibility of anything like that. He said, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Isn't that something? What haunting words. Matthew 26:33. No one seemed aware of the downward spiral that was taking place here. As the evening went on, the disciples listened to the Lord as he spoke about his betrayal. But his message did not register in their hearts. What was going on? They could not conceive how this could possibly happen to a man who had changed the lives of so many when it literally worked miracles in their presence. With death and sorrow closing in on them at a rapid pace, the disciples drifted to sleep and failed to learn the most important principle for winning any spiritual battle. Oh, what was that lesson, huh? Watch. Pray. At times, most of us have found ourselves in a situation where we knew something was about to change. We could just sense it. We may have been warned in advance. Someone may have explained what was about to take place, but we weren't willing to accept anything other than what we believed to be the right thing. We just failed to listen because we were caught up in our needs, our desires, and dreams and passions. Instead of heeding the warning and preparing for what was to come, we chose to ignore that message. We acted carelessly. Then only after adversity hit, the disaster hit, did we realize that we missed an opportunity to trust Almighty God. Following the Savior's arrest and crucifixion, the disciples probably did what most of us have done. They went back over the details leading up to that night and the event that changed them forever. Did they miss something? A clue as to why things had turned out so differently than what they expected? Could they have done anything to prevent the arrest of Jesus? Had they been unfaithful? Would they meet the same fate, maybe, conviction, on false charges? It's true, the primary victory for the Christian was won at the cross. This is where God sacrificed his Son for the sins of all mankind. Jesus had to die so that you and I could have eternal life. No greater conquest has ever been recorded in history. But in the hours leading up to this moment, another important victory was gained. It took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where Jesus completely surrendered to his Father's will. If he had not done this, you and I would have been lost for all eternity. And there's another very telling truth here about what happened in the garden just the hours before his arrest. The disciples had a tremendous opportunity to prove faithful, that night. Yet they failed. Not once, but three times. Can we learn from this? I certainly know I can. At the conclusion of the Passover meal, Jesus led his disciples away from the upper room to a place of isolation and prayer. He asked them to remain alert and watchful. But they did neither one. He chose the three men with whom he shared a particularly close relationship, Peter, James, and John, to go farther with him into a place of intimate prayer that was even nearer to the heart of Almighty God. It was literally footsteps away from where he uttered his prayer of personal surrender, but they were not listening. Not only was Jesus God, he was man, and at Gethsemane his humanness became most obvious. He suffered and felt alone, even though friends were right there with him. He had to yield completely to God's plan, or he was going to miss the Father's will completely. There was no escaping the importance of this moment. He told his disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." Sadly, we know the rest of the story. Jesus went a little beyond them, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Imagine Jesus saying this to you, as he said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh," there it is weak. He went away a second time and praying, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And what happened next is more than we want to imagine. Jesus returned a third time to find them still asleep. This is just hard to believe, isn't it? Matthew wrote, "He left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed.'" All that Jesus had told them would happen, was about to happen, was going to come true. You know, there's a point in time when God will call us to pray, and after that we must act on what we learned from him in that prayer. But if we've not spent time with him, we're not going to know how to stand firm in the faith, especially today. We will also lack discernment and wisdom that are the keys of making good decisions in life. When we come to a place in prayer, the place where Jesus led those men that night, we should be completely caught up in the holiness of Almighty God. Being in his infinite presence should drive us to our knees. Jesus humbled himself before the Father, and these men had the opportunity to witness his pattern in prayer, but they did not do it. The question will be today, will you? There's unlimited power in prayer. This is one of the reasons Jesus asked his followers to pray with him that night. People often want to know the will of God for them. They spend money buying books and trying different methods in order to learn something new so that their lives will have some meaning. But the truth is, what they're searching for is right there before their eyes now. Everything essential is available to them today through prayer. Is there a problem in your life too great to handle, huh? Nothing too great for God. Will you watch and pray with him so that you might know his perfect will and plan for your life? I'll be praying for you.
And finally, there's Mildred, the church gossip and self-appointed monitor of church morale, always checking out extracurricular activities. She made a mistake, however, one time when she accused Frank, who was a new member, of being an alcoholic. After she saw his old pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar, she emphatically told Frank and others in the church that everyone there knew what he was doing. Frank, a man of few words, just stared, walked away, didn't say anything. Good old Frank said nothing, but oh, what he did next. Frank quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Mildred's house, walked home, and left it there all night. You gotta love Frank. That's it. Had to say for another day here on a Monday. God bless you. Trust you're going to have a wonderful day. Join me on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. They're silenced me again. I'm talking about 2,000 mules, and they do not like it. Hey, join me here tomorrow. Call a friend. Tell them to join you right here on this local Christian radio station. God bless.